What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. This is episode 2 on my YouTube channel, those of you guys that are viewing. This is my 81st podcast episode for people who are following on the podcast. What I want to get into today, for those of you guys have been following the podcast, I've done several updates about the coronavirus outbreak. When I first started podcasting about the outbreak, it was very new to pretty much everyone. I think it was in January is when I did my very first podcast episode regarding the COVID-19, is what I'll call it, moving forward, and maybe coronavirus. I don't know. It depends on how I feel. But regarding COVID-19, and at that time, it was something that was more prevalent in Asia, specifically in China and Wuhan, where the virus originated. And also in Taiwan, there were a few cases that were going on. The response in Taiwan was, at the time, was very different. Again, everything shut down for 2 weeks. We all had to wear masks, washing hands, like all these directives were rolled out, letting us know like, hey, this is a big deal. We don't know what it's going to be like, but to prevent it from getting really, really bad, we're going to tell you guys to start taking precautions now rather than waiting to the last minute. What I've covered in previous podcasts is what happened in America was the exact opposite. There were leaders and people on Fox News and other networks saying like, hey, this isn't a really big deal. It's just like the common flu. And now it turns out that it's not like that at all. What I kind of want to get into is I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not going to get into which country did what, even though I am going to touch on it just a little bit. But I want to get into is how that affects us as expats, specifically as a Black expat. When it first happened, I remember when I first started podcasting about it, it was a vibe in which my family was concerned for me. It was like, hey, there's this Wuhan virus or the coronavirus or whatever the name for it was at the time. And it was in our area, so in the area that I am in now. So I'm located in, again, Taipei in Taiwan, which is not about an hour and a half flight away from mainland China, where a lot more cases have occurred over the course of time. And, you know, during that time, I was basically letting everybody know that I was okay and that everything was going smoothly, that there were precautions being taken and that we were doing what we needed to do to remain safe. But it wasn't nearly as big as it was today. When this happened, I think this is when I talked about it on the podcast. That's when China and Wuhan, they had built the hospital there. They had locked everybody in. Everything was shut down there. And in Taiwan, everything was still going, you know, on a day-to-day basis. They postponed school for 2 weeks. But outside of that, people were still in shopping malls. We weren't locked down. We were able to leave our homes. But just when we left home, we had to follow certain guidelines, as in wearing masks, washing hands, so on and so forth. So it wasn't as scary as it is now, at least from the perspective of being an expat. Even though I was very close to it, out in Taiwan, I have national health care, so I know I'll be covered if I did get sick. And I had 2 weeks off to prepare to go back to work before the virus got out of control or there were more numbers and more people that were actually developing symptoms and cases of COVID-19. I think where we are now, as an expat, I still go to work every day. I live and work in Taiwan. I work at a school and school is still in session. Yes, we are preparing for worst case scenario if we do have to shut down the schools and we do have to go to online teaching. Like, we are preparing for that. The difference is we are at school working together, still able to talk to people, practicing social distancing now, but still able to talk to people face to face as close as we can and properly prepare for if we do need to go online and teach and work with kids. But I'm still in school. And the reason why I am still at school is because of the precautions and preparations that the island that I'm fortunate enough to live on currently, Taiwan, took before the outbreak happened. Right now, we're exactly at, the last time I checked, 393 cases of the coronavirus out here. Before March, I think it was before March 5th, we only had 53. And the cases that have been, most of the cases, not all, the majority, I want to say 75%, if I'm throwing a number out there, have been cases that have been imported. What that means is people that traveled abroad between February 23rd and the latest, I think, is March 21st. Now, when I say travel abroad, they went to several different countries, America, Austria, Australia, basically were traveling around the world. And once the coronavirus got really serious in places like America and Australia and just all other places in Italy around the world, a lot of Taiwanese people, they came back to the island. Why would they come back to the island? universal health care. It's where their families are. It's where they feel more safe and secure. Yes, America is a great country. All these countries are great, but there's no place like home. And there, for expats, there's no place like a place that gives you national health insurance, because that is really important. You don't have to spend your whole life savings if you do get sick and have to recover for something. So what we saw was an estimated 10,000 national Taiwanese people flying back to the island. But what the government did is once they flew back, they were quarantined for 14 days. And a lot of them are being tested inside hotels and different areas after 14 days and through those 14 days to see if they have COVID-19. After they're released from government and from isolation, they still have to check in and are still being tested to make sure to see if they have any symptoms or if they could possibly spread the disease itself to other people. So again, a lot of the new cases that developed are people who traveled abroad, came back, and were tested by the government, which is why we can get daily updates about the COVID-19 outbreak. That's not to say that other people aren't developing it and aren't going in, but it's a pretty controlled sample size, a pretty controlled population because of how they brought in people who traveled from abroad and how they were doing testing, mandatory quarantine, and checking in with those people and updating the population daily about what was going on and about how we can make sure that we're prepared and practicing, you know, health, social distancing and safety protocols when we're interacting with each other on a daily basis. Now, I do want to preface it by saying that Taiwan is a population of 24 million people. Places like America, where I'm from, is 300 plus million people. However, there were still steps that could have been taken to prevent it being as many people that have the coronavirus COVID-19 as they do now. Like, again, we started the country, quote unquote, shut down, but not necessarily shut down. We took a break, a 2-week break in February, right? It's March and April now. America, some cities and states went into lockdown late March, mid-March, early April, right? They're just now starting to take it a little bit more seriously than they took it when it first happened, in my opinion, from my perspective. But again, I've podcasted before about this, and you guys know my opinion and feelings on how different countries handle it, specifically Taiwan and America, because I am American, but I also happen to live and work in Taiwan. But what I do want to focus on for today's podcast is something that maybe a lot of people didn't think about, and I think as things have developed in other parts of the world, specifically my home country, so I want to focus on now, is how the coronavirus has affected the Black expat psyche, mental health wise and just like exposure wise. Because a lot of people don't really know that while, yes, I can, because I'm American, possibly get a really cheap flight to fly back from Taiwan to America, there's a lot of things to take into account with that. I mean, right now it's not necessarily safe because from us out here in Taiwan, most of the cases that people that are currently getting it, a lot of them are coming from people who have traveled. No matter where they traveled to, they're coming back and they're developing symptoms or testing positive for COVID-19. So for us, it's like, okay, yeah, I can go back home, be around my family, but there's a high possibility of developing it only because of, you know, traveling is kind of gross. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen Naomi Campbell and her travel routine, and she flies first class. She doesn't touch anything. She sterilizes everything before she gets on the plane. Like, she's a huge germaphobe. And I think this kind of, the COVID-19, I know it's a huge example, but it kind of explains why she's like that. I mean, her primary source of income was her beauty. So she couldn't afford to get any kind of infections or skin diseases or anything like that. But with COVID-19, it's showing that even in places where there weren't a lot of cases to start with, people that flown back to Taiwan from other countries have symptoms in places where maybe no one in that area had it. So traveling back home itself is scary, right? Not just for yourself, because if you go back home, you're around your parents, you're around your grandparents, brothers, sisters, kids, and things like that. That's a lot to think of. That's a lot of responsibility to take. And if you do go on self-quarantine, where are you self-quarantining? Are you going to self-quarantine at your house? You still are going to be around your family. Are you going to go to a hotel? You're still going to be around other people. And we all know how much they don't clean those hotel rooms. You're going to potentially spread it to other people. Are you going to go to a friend's house? Like, what are your real options in returning home? And how big of a risk are you, not only to yourself, but to your family and to other people that are around you? It may be very cheap. It may be very cool to say, oh, I got this $50 flight round trip from Taiwan back to America. But there are a lot of risks and things that you just like that we have to take into account as responsible humans and traveling and going back. And even to say that, it's, you know, when you go in, if you do pick up something in the airport or on the airplane, you're still going to interact with people at customs. And while they may be taking precautions, you just don't know, because there's not a lot of information that we know about how the virus works and how we could potentially be carriers of it or how it spreads and things like that. We have an idea and we know ways to prevent it. But I mean, it can happen in so many different ways that is that trip home necessarily worth it? And I know in Taiwan, as I said before, the way they've handled it has been great, because we're all still going to work. We are not on lockdown. Everything's still functioning, mostly normal, right? We go to Costco to go shopping for our business, the bar, and it's still jam-packed, right? Everybody has their mask on. There is no social distancing practice until you get to the checkout lines. And a lot of them didn't adhere to that. Patrick did. He reminded us because he saw the lines on the ground. But most people didn't. They were like, hey, we here. Just don't touch me. We good. But even then, they would still bump into you and touch you. So everything is pretty much functioning normally here in Taiwan. But also with that, it's the worry. It's like, hey, a lot of people, foreigners that we know, are sharing all these success stories online about how Taiwan is so great and they're so positive and rah, rah, rah. And one of the things that I actually have talked to a few people about when they post things like that is to try to not make posts that make it a competition. Right, because they'll say things like, this is why I decided not to go back home. This is why I chose to stay in Taiwan. I'm glad I'm in Taiwan. I'm not here. And while, first, that, for the most part, that ain't true. People didn't make the decision not to go back home because of COVID-19. Like, they made the decision to stay in Taiwan way before that. And it wasn't just because Taiwan is super prepared for a global outbreak. That's bullshit. Anybody tell you that that's the reason why they decided to stay abroad? That's a damn lie. There are many other reasons that are connected to that, like how we observe the healthcare system in other countries, preparation, all that. Those may factor into it, but it was no expat's primary reason for not going back home to where they came from. But you have to really think about how people are digesting that, even specifically for expat, if you go back at home. Saying that, oh, Taiwan 01, this is so great, you have to understand that you're competing with people's lives. Saying something like, you can just post something and say, hey, Taiwan is handling it really well. People back in America, please read this and follow some of the things that Taiwan has led as an example. It's a great way to stay safe. That has a very different meaning than, oh yeah, Taiwan number one, my country got it good. Yeah, we're great. Oh, America sucks. Because the fact is, America may have mishandled it. Other countries may have mishandled it. But that's not the only underlying fact there. The fact is, people are dying. Like, it's people's lives that are at risk. It's people's livelihoods. Not just death, but debt. Not being able to survive, not being able to get food. So yes, while you can share this information and be proud of where you happen to be in the world right now, living in Taiwan, you have to understand the power behind the words and the messages that you spread online. The same way as that when COVID-19 first started happening out here in Taiwan, one of the first things myself and Stephanie, who was a part of the previous podcast, said, they were like, hey, don't be sending us scary messages and information, because we're out here by ourselves. We're on our own. And something that some expats kind of forget is not all expats love their family or want to go back home to their family or care about their family that much. But there are a lot of them that really do. And while, yes, we are safer in some ways and we're more prepared in a lot of ways and have access to certain benefits that most Americans or some Americans don't have in many ways, the fact is, we are not with our families. And some expats are scared to death that something may happen to a family member and they're not going to see them. The last time I've seen my family was Thanksgiving. It was in November. That's a long time ago without seeing your family. For some expats, it's been years since they went back, because in their minds, like, oh, I'm going to go back during the summertime. Some expats see their family once a year. And for a time like this, while your family may be safe and doing okay, you just don't know. So the messages that we put out there are equally as important as expats. If you are in a place that is safe, that don't have a lot of cases, that have handled it very well, yes, it's okay to talk about it, but it's the words that you use and how you post and how you talk about it that is important. Because me, if I had a family member that, or anyone that I've known, I've known people that have gone through, experienced COVID-19 in their personal lives, and it's very personal for them. They don't want to get online and see that, oh yeah, Taiwan has done great. Ha ha, we did so great at this. Taiwan was really prepared. I'm proud of my second country. Like, that's great and all, but to say, hey, for those of you guys who may have had experiences with this, this is what we did. This is how we're handling it. I'm okay. I hope you guys are okay too. That goes a long way. And there's little things like that that impact people's psyche. I know a lot of people are like, hey, I'm done with social media, right? When I say social media, I mean Twitter and Facebook. I love Twitter. It's one of my favorite places to be on. But every time I get on Twitter, it's super negative. And I know that some things are, there's a difference between being informative and negative, right? I think, yeah, you go on Twitter and Facebook to get information, but it's the way that information is presented and is given out to the masses that is really affecting the population. It really does have effect on your mental life. The difference between the past and how we absorbed information in the past is that we could walk away from it. You could leave your house and go to work. You could leave your house and link up with friends and different people. Now in America, in many places, you can't do that. You're trapped inside with all of this negative information, all of this negative feelings and emotions, all of this worry and stress. Some people aren't as stressed because they got money, they saved up, whatever. They're trapped in with bae, they aren't married yet, they're engaged. They're just like, hey, honeymoon stage early, yeah, yeah, yeah. But not everyone has that. Not everyone is experiencing that. And I think mental health is so important, and that's why I'm glad I did a segment, so many segments on in December and January, because in times like these, it's even more important. You may not even think it's impacting you, but when you wake up, check your moods. What is the first thing that you do? What are you thinking about? What information are you digesting? We have to, as people, control what information we digest and control how we respond, react, and carry on with our daily lives to maintain a well-balanced mental health perspective. Because for me, one of the things that I know that when I get stressed and I get down, one thing I really like to do is stay where it's comfortable. I stay in my house. I don't leave. I don't go outside. Work will push me out, but work for me is even more stressful than being at home. So while I may be outside, I'm in a stressful situation. So and now people in America and other places can leave, but not for that long. You can go for a walk, but not too far. But I encourage you, even if you feel like you don't want to go out, it's too cold, whatever, get out of the house. That's the biggest thing. Get out of the house, disconnect, spend time with your family, and really challenge yourself to do new things. I know people are posting like, oh, if you don't come out of this virus with a new hobby, a new skill, then you wasted it. And the flip side of that was like, you just need to survive. It's fine. Be okay. I think the middle part is the most important thing. First, survive, right? Survive the virus. But secondly, live a comfortable, normal life in which you have balance. Right? It's not to say you have to go 100% on your new hobby. It's not to say you have to go 100% on not doing anything, but you have to have that balance. And that balance is health. That is what society, no matter how you feel about it, no matter how you feel about it, provides us. It provides that balance. You have to get up and go to work, right? You have to go grocery shopping. You have to do certain things. And that's what provides people balance. Because some people, if they didn't have to do anything, would not do anything. Right? If I could just get money, if I could just make money, some people just make money and everything was taken care of. I didn't have to worry about health care I wouldn't do very much, right? There's really nothing to really motivate me, right? If I knew that at the end of the day, there was nothing that got me out of my comfort zone, I would not do anything. And some people view that as, oh, I'm comfortable, I'm fine. Then you look back on it a year later, or when you actually get into something that is fulfilling, that is driving, that is pushing, like, man, I was really mentally unhealthy. Like, I was making excuses as to why I was doing what I was doing instead of looking to make changes and putting myself in a situation where I am happy. Not happy-ish, not all the time, but in a situation where I am happy, I am fulfilled, despite all the stress, the drama, and the problems that I'm dealing with. Because right now, many people are dealing with the same thing. Being locked in, not knowing where the next dollar is coming from, right? Running low on food. A lot of people are dealing with that same thing. And it's not to say ignore it, put it to the wayside, don't worry about it, just let go and let God, because in a situation, while you can, you still have to put in some work to get things done. It's like, hey, even though I don't know what's happening from one day to the next, what can I do to really, truly treasure, appreciate, and make the most out of every day that I have left and that I have on this earth as of now? And again, it's hard, it's difficult to do, but it's also not impossible. It's something that we can all do together. And right now, again, if you know someone who is struggling, like I said before, and you can help in any way, you can reach out. Something as simple as a conversation can uplift people out of a downward spiral, right? Someone who is too proud and too prideful to ask you for anything, and you know they won't, just talk to them, say, hey, how you doing? Checking in on them. Need anything, or not even ask you anything, like, hey, I'm going to grab this, you can have some of mine. Hey, I'm going to bring something to you, I'm going to ship something to you. Anything like that, of people that you know are super prideful, but maybe struggling, or people who are not struggling at all, but don't know how to process and talk about things. People whose work, life, and job was everything to them. And without it, they are really struggling to go forward, because they're like, man, they weren't big on social media, right? They weren't the people that were always missing social gatherings. that always had an excuse as to why they couldn't make it or couldn't show up. Not people who showed up late. People who show up late on purpose, right? Because they like to make an entrance. Even myself, I don't like showing up late all the time. I don't like showing up on time all the time. Why? I want to get there when things are already popping, so that way I can kind of slide my way into a conversation or a vibe or something like that. But those people who, you know, who intentionally miss things, they need us right now. They need your support. They need our support. They need to be looked after. And then from an expat, like, these are things that we think about, but we're experiencing in a very different way. Like, if Taiwan went into lockdown, again, I'm blessed and fortunate enough to live with, one, another black person, two, my best friend and brother, but three, someone who's from the same place as me. There's comfort in that, right? There's comfort in that. But the fact is, for both of us, we're not each other's, like, our families aren't here. Our actual mothers, brothers, people that we grew up with, people who, they aren't here. And sometimes, you know, especially, you know, we don't want to talk about it because it's hard to talk about. And it's hard to kind of face those things, but you have to let it out. And I think the best thing that's come from this is that as an expat now, I can talk to my family whenever I want to because they all have time. Like, I spend so much time on Facebook, text messaging, all that. And that's a huge plus. It doesn't replace that physical connection that you can have, being able to hug your mom, hug your dad. It doesn't replace that. But it does provide space for that. So again, as much as it's a negative and not being around our family, like, I choose to focus on the positive and make the most out of those positives and connect with them as much as I can. I get so many more pictures now, so many more updates, so much more gossip. The same things that, you know, as expats, when we go back, love being around my family, but for like 2 weeks. And now it's like, oh, I could talk to you guys every day. But now it's like 10 minutes a day. Whereas before, I would dedicate Sundays and do 1 or 2 hours, right? Now I can kind of chop it up. Whereas I get enough of you to make sure that I'm okay and I'm safe and you're okay and you're safe. But I'm gonna cut that off. But these are just real things that, as an expat, we are dealing with it differently. And a lot of expats really haven't thought it through thoroughly. Because one of the scariest things was like Taiwan. It's like, oh, if you leave the island, you come back, you don't get healthcare. You relinquish your healthcare privileges because you, on your own, made a decision to leave and go somewhere else. No matter where it is, if you come back with that virus, that's on you, bro. You got to pay these bills. And again, that's huge. And then for us, like I said before, going back as an American, we don't have health insurance there. That's even more scarier. And then if we infect someone else, that's adding to their bills, adding to their worry, shortened amount of time they have to get back to work if the country does open back up. So it's a lot of things to kind of take in and to kind of think about. And I think I'm not as connected as I want to be, and I do want to reach out to more people, to different expat communities around the world and how they're dealing with it. I know everyone's dealing with it differently. The thing about Taiwan is that life continues to go on, right? Again, still going to work, still reaching out, still doing different things. So it isn't as impactful to my mental, to my psyche, to my daily routine as it is and can be and maybe is to other places around the world. But it's still something that I think about, right? So what worst case scenario, what if the worst case scenario does happen here? At my last moments, I'm so far removed from my family. I'm just around my close friends. Like, that's something that, and the reason why a podcast is very therapeutic for me, I hope it is for you guys too. It's not to scare, or it's not to fright, but it's just from an expat's perspective. It's the same or similar worries about family, about health, about getting through the day and things like that. That's still there. But the magnitude of it is just a little bit different because we aren't at home. We've made new homes, but in times like these, where the rest of the world and many other places in the world, people are at home with their family and they're getting a chance to reconnect. They're rebuilding relationships. They're reestablishing friendships. They're doing things with people that they know and they love and been around for so long. And as expats, while we've created those environments and communities here, the fact is that isn't our immediate family members. And there's always two ways to look at it. Like, I love connecting. I have gotten closer to a lot of friends here that I've made because of the outbreak. Like, I have connected more with them. I've sought out more real connections with people, more authentic conversations. Like, I've sought to do more than just hang out and party and drink. I've started doing things that I used to do, bringing people together, right? Doing more things as a group, as a community, as a family. Because in times like these, community is one of the most, if not the most important thing to have. You need your community, you need your building blocks, you need people around you that are going to support you and uplift you, because there is a lot on your mind. There's a lot of things that we digest that we don't necessarily think about and take time to take in and digest. Because we get it so quickly, right? So things on Facebook come in so fast. Things on Instagram come in so quickly. We read things on these platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and we just take it in like, oh, this is, and it becomes, you think it's normal. It's not normal at all to digest so much negative information in a day. It's not how our day usually went. It was either a little bit of gossip, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But now, since everything's pretty much shut down, there's a limit to what you can take in. There's a limit to what people are talking about. Like, good things have come out of it, though. Like, the online battles with, we were just talking about it, actually, with T-Pain and Lil Jon. Like, that was amazing. Like, just reflection on the many years of awesomeness that the world has given us and that people have given us. Something I was listening to this today is like, oh, people were so angry and mad at Hollywood and famous people and how much money they make, but what would we do without Netflix now? Like, what would we do without streaming services? Like, what would we resort to then? Because I know a lot of families, I know me, I always loved keeping board games. A lot of people are like, nah, everything's digital. But like, now, how would that work? And again, it's a double-edged sword, because right now you can do a lot of things digitally. We play Scrabble online against one another. That's really cool. You can do Zoom, all these amazing things online. That's really cool. But what happens when that gets old? Because as we realize, doing the same thing over and over again gets old real quick. We all love our jobs at the beginning. It's cool for a year and a half. But if you're at a job, unfortunately, that does the same thing day in and day out, you're ready to leave that damn job after about month one or two. Unless your job provides that space for every day is a different adventure, every day is a different challenge, every day is a different thing, then yeah, you could do it. But if it's not like that at all, then it becomes a challenge. That's the same challenge many of us are faced with now, with being on lockdown, being confined to our homes during the coronavirus outbreak. Again, I see it as a blessing and a curse. Again, I get up and I still work every day. Still go out, still going to school. I mean, Taiwan just had a big holiday weekend where everybody was traveling all over the island. And to be honest with you guys, it's nerve-wracking for me, because it's like, man, I got to go back to work around all these people, not just foreign teachers who I don't know what they done. They could lie and tell the truth, say, oh, we didn't go anywhere, but really went somewhere. And then a bunch of kids who maybe they didn't go anywhere, but their parents did, or they went somewhere with their family. You know our kids don't wash their hands. You would tell them all day to wash hands. They don't do that. So, I mean, it is, I'm concerned about that for myself. So, I know I put my own personal safety things in place for myself. When I come home, taking a shower right away. Whatever clothes I had on, taking them off, throwing them in a bin, but the bin's going to be located in a special part of my room that don't touch anything. Every 3 days, I got to wash my clothes. This little thing, just like, because first, I live with someone. Second, I run a business. And third, I don't want to get the wrong either. Right? But so it's like, yeah, I'm glad I'm going back to work. But I can only imagine what this means for healthcare workers who are actually in the thick of it, right? Are actually taking care of people day in and day out, always around the Rona. Like, have on all these gowns and gloves and masks from head to toe, but are literally around and taking care of people who are going through this every day in every part of the world. It's scary. They're heroes. I mean, it goes without saying. I know people have already talked about it, but people are heroes, and I certainly commend them. But that fear is there. So, I mean, as much as I think we should spread information and keep everybody informed, I think we should just be uplifting people who are still getting up day in and day out, going out in the midst of this pandemic and facing it head on and doing it with fear, but confronting the fear head on, because it is something that's incredible. When you really sit back and you really think about how it's impacting you. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, they're really enjoying this time back at home, but people always say, it's like, I've heard this, skill or a hobby, things like that, like, it doesn't have to be used to make money. I 1,000% agree with that. But in the times like these, don't let laziness overcome your ideas about what should and shouldn't make money. You ain't got to be doing anything to make money, but do something to give you that thrill and that experience that you had every weekend when you went out to the club, or when you went out to party, when you hung out with a new friend. You need to replace that. That is what we're missing. Because the family thing, if you're back at home or you're not an expat, that's always there. That's been there. That's something you experience daily. You come home to a husband, you come home to a wife, that's what you come home to. You're used to that. Now you just come home to it and you don't leave it all day, right? That's the only big difference. What we have to replace and keep in mind, just from a mental health perspective, and it's different for everybody, is that bit of excitement. Like, where does that excitement, where does that thrill, where does that new challenge, that interest come from? And that does come from your hobbies, something that you can just do on your own and you enjoy doing it. And you don't have to share with anybody. It could be something, hey, I never had the time to do this, and I always made excuses. The excuse before was that I got pressure from others to do it, and I just didn't like it because they pressured me into doing it. But now there is no pressure from anybody else. Now everything you do is for yourself and for your safety, for your health, and for your family. So don't lose sight of that. But again, as an expat, there's a lot of things that we think about. So I mean, if you know any expats that are living abroad, make sure you reach out to them. Because the way that we are digesting and receiving this is so, so different. And the comparisons between Taiwan and America, it's good on one hand because, yeah, the place I am is doing a better job of it, in my opinion. But at the same time, you got to remember where my family is. Like, I'm here. Woo, my whole family was here. Yeah, great. Share. But that's just not the fact. So the way we as expats are digesting this is very different. And I don't want to reach a point where, for those of you guys who are listening that are expats, where we think about this too late. We're so busy enjoying the freedom and the joy of being able to have a somewhat remnants of a normal life here in Taiwan that we forget to provide the support needed to people that are back home. And not necessarily rush back there, because I don't think that's a good idea right now. I think most of us would agree that's a terrible idea. But just to keep those channels of communication open, but also to talk about it, to don't hold these things in, don't let it drag you down, don't let it affect your mental health, and don't let it get to you. Have these open dialogues and conversations about how you feel, because if you may not need it, but your family may need it. Like, they might enjoy hearing the good, your stories about your day, because a lot of their day is wake up, cook, go outside, walk around, come back home. Watch TV, watch Netflix. But again, it's only, as we all know, there's only so much Netflix you can watch. There's only so much TV you can take in until you're like, you know what, I'm just tired of watching TV. Now for me, honestly, I'm an introvert for the most part. I can sit home and play video games all day and I'd be 1,000% okay. If I was around family, if I was at home. Out here, maybe not. But back at home, yeah. You give me a TV and a PlayStation. I think I'm also just tired from working so much for the past 10, 11 years. I would really enjoy this, like, a month of, like, just sitting my ass down. Still making money. That's the key. But just sitting my ass down. Again, as an expat entrepreneur, as I talked about in my last podcast, it's a double-edged sword for us. If school shut down, I mean, the bar business is gonna slow down. Still getting the check, but losing the check at the same damn time. So, I mean, again, as expats, it's tough. It's a lot to process, but make sure you're using the resources you have available to you. Make sure you're sharing more positive than negative. Make sure you're understanding what's going on and keeping things in perspective. And just make sure you're maintaining the connection and maintaining the closeness and open lines of communication with those that you love. Because that's what matters most right now, and that's what's most important. But I want to give you guys an update on the coronavirus real quick. Taiwan, 393 cases, mostly imported, as I said earlier. And we're still going to work. These next 2 weeks are going to be a huge test for us because a lot of traveling just happened. So we're just waiting to see how everything kind of works out. And just hoping for the best, hoping for everybody's safety. I'm doing everything I can to stay safe and to keep bringing you guys more podcasts. As promised, every other podcast will be coronavirus related. The next one will not be about the coronavirus. I want to put more positive out too than continuously beating a dead horse and talking about the virus. But as always, if there's anything you want me to talk about, hit up any of my lines of communication. Thank you guys for the emails about the previous podcast. And thank you for the healthcare worker. I won't say your name this time because I just want to keep personal. That is, express so much appreciation for the things I've been talking about. And I hope that you've taken this to your superiors or anybody that you connect with. And hopefully it's making a difference in how you guys are addressing and handling it. And I love you as a friend, as a person. I appreciate your service as well. Thank you for always tuning in, always being very supportive of the podcast. You know who you are. Known you since high school. You're a great person, and I love you. I'm Carl, the Black Expat. We out here.